Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Geek Fighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at my blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com, or you are in the most efficient way to get it. Enter Warman Geek Fighting Show into the iTunes search engine, and the show pops up. It will also update regularly for you. Busy stuff, busy time, a lot of talk. The reason why I didn't come back with an episode right away was because I was trying to wait until the Tenzin Nasukawa Floyd Mayweather news was finalized. Because the last time we talked, I talked about how it was probably the biggest news in the history of kickboxing. You know, like it's arguable, but like it's probably the biggest news. But the main question I had when talking about that was, what are the rules going to be? And would they at least give Mayweather... will he at least have to worry about the kicks for 1 minute or for one round? When the fight was made, and he came out with the accusations that he kind of felt like he was almost bullied or mobbed, kind of mob type mentality, or he felt like a mob type presence, to kind of force him in, he was bullied into making the decision and bullied into doing the press conference, and he really didn't want to do it. And then when all that news came out, a lot of people said, hey, you've been had. This is a joke all the whole time. I didn't tweet on it just yet. The reason why I wanted to wait it out is because I understood this was negotiation. I knew fully well, just like we talked about in the last podcast, the number one thing Mayweather did not want to do was deal with kicks. I will go against a kickboxer as long as we're not kicking. He doesn't want to do anything to do with anything that's not boxing. It's not at 40 years old. It'd be different if he was 23 and he had the recognition and the record that he has now. And then it's like, okay, do I want to consider training in this and giving it a shot? I mean, I wouldn't rule it out. I wouldn't think it would possibly happen, but I think that the chances of it happening at 23 where he could train it would be a lot better than his chances in his 40s. But when this was put up, I knew that was the big obstacle. In the end, he comes back a few days after saying that the fight's not going to happen, and he says the fight's going to happen. It's going to be a few-round exhibition, and he's going to get paid a lot of money. You know, it's going to bring a lot of eyes. You know, they've got a history of doing, high-level exhibitions. I remember Erica Kimimura and Rena. I remember Hiroya and Masato. Like, they just, in Japan, there is a history of exhibitions, that garner attention because you want to send some sort of message. By doing it, Nasukawa still think whatever the money is, it's worth it for Rizin to give a shot because you still sell the world on this is the kid to watch. And this is why, of all the people in the country, this is the guy who gets this opportunity. And it should be noted that the Inoki Ali, that was pretty much an exhibition. There was no title in the hands and changed hands after that. The big purpose of that whole battle, that big purpose of that whole thing was just to gather attention for both guys. Here is probably the biggest Japanese star in wrestling for sure, but one of the more popular figures in all of Japan. And then you had Muhammad Ali, who was recognized as one of the better boxers in the world. Greatest of all time, I think, came, as his career came to an end. But at that period of time, he's definitely considered the biggest and the most successful. So that was put together at that period of time. So here you are, of all the fighters in Japan, you go with your 20-year-old wonder kid, Tenzin Nasukawa, undefeated, and they're going to do an exhibition, and there's going to be no winner in it. It's just going to be a three-round, five-round, boxing match that'll go to a draw. Tenzin Nasukawa is way smaller than Floyd Mayweather, which is probably another reason why he considered it, but don't rule out Tenzin going, being aggressive and letting his hands go and seeing, what he can do in some spots. He's not going to be able to beat Mayweather even at this age. He's going to have a moment here and there if he throws in a flurry. And if he gets too fancy, a counter will put him on his butt because he's a smaller guy. With that said, it's still a big showcase and a big platform for one of the truly great prospects in the history of Japan. Like this, you are talking about one of the great combat sports prospects probably to ever come along in the whole realm of kickboxing, but for sure the biggest in Japan to come around in a long, long time. So Tenshin Nasukawa will be going against Mayweather on New Year's Eve at Rizin, and it's looking like the fight is going to be 5 rounds of boxing. I'm assuming there's probably going to be headgear, and you never know, but I'll see it when we get closer. In the meantime, Tenshin Nasukawa went out there and did the Tenshin Nasukawa thing against Takei Naito as we go to Japan for the Rai show that was held the 17th of November. 3 knockdowns, and they call it just 2 minutes into the fight. I mean, the guy is just special. Like, when he gets his offensive flurries going together, it's not that he's looking for, you know, just clean boxing. It's a flow of just violent, aggressive hand speed, and he'll throw in a mean kick here and there. He can play combination kick. He can play, you know, off this boxing. He can play off the counter. He can play with the flash as far as spinning and jumping techniques. He's just a total package. Tenshin Nasukawa gets another big win. You wanted that to happen. After all this news, you want the guy who's going to go into that fight to go into it with the win. So good stuff for Tenshin Nasukawa. He gets the W and moves forward with his career. Rod Tang Jitmongnong gets a victory over Yuki. 29-26, 30-26, and 29-27. There was a knockdown in the fight. Rod Tang is one of the better stadium fighters that they've, you know, moved to fight internationally, definitely to fight in the Japan cards. He's a very, very talented guy. A little bit more aggressive than some of the ties that they bring out, but you know, internationally, but I like him, and good one for him. We had a Mighty Mo sighting. I'm not sure how old Mighty Mo is, but he's going against Kengo Shimizu, and he gets this victory. It's just third round. It's funny just because anytime I hear the name Mighty Mo, I'm like, wow, I thought you were done. I say that every single time. Not in terms of, I mean, thought he was injured, just thought he wasn't competing anymore. But I think that every time I see his name. Anyways, we get a victory there for Mighty Mo. Shiro gets a victory over Masahide Kudo, and that was 30-29 on all the cards. Setsuki Shinosuka gets a victory over Li Jiajing. Knockout in the first. I was only able to get a piece of that knockout. As I revisited the card, I didn't get the full. I just got a clip of the knockout, but good stuff by Tatsuki there. Black Panther Baino gets a victory over Deke Watanabe, 50-45, 50-44 on one of the cards. Dominant stuff by Benoit. Be on the lookout for Black Panther Benoit. Beynoa. Be on the lookout for this young man fighting in Japan, bilingual. Just remember that name. Remember that name. Sukim gets a victory over Ignacio Capalanche. That was a unanimous decision, 30-27. I used to think Ignacio at one period of time was going to be one of the better fighters, if not the best fighter, to come out of the South Americas, you know, in terms of, you know, Brazil, of course, is very, very tough. Ignacio's good, and he had a lot of opportunities to just fight, but he has struggled to win the big fights, you know, whether it be Tenshin Nasukawa or this showcase here. His managers and his team, they did a good job. I remember meeting them and seeing them on Twitter talking about how they were going to give him those opportunities. They are just trying really hard. They're trying to get Kyle back from Japan. But finally, they were able to put together. He got some opportunities out there. He's fought out there a few times now. Just hasn't gotten the W. And, you know, again, worked hard, fought hard, had some struggles against some of the better guys in Brazil. He's had a good run, and maybe he waited, and not his fault at all, but maybe when he was in his prime, they didn't use him. And when he was kind of towards the tail end of it, after several weight cuts and several, you know, other situations, maybe, just maybe, that could be one of the reasons why we're not seeing him at his best, but we are seeing him go out there and compete to the best of his ability. So we'll see what happens moving forward. But Sao Kim is a solid fighter, but a kind of fighter who I would expect Ignacio to you know, be a little bit more competitive with. But Sao Kim moves on. He's a guy who I'll be paying attention to a lot more now, and we will move further down the card. Hideki gets a victory over Pan Jinyon. Unanimous decision at 30-29, 30-28 twice on the other two scores. Hiroya back in the game. He gets a KO victory over Yujiro Uchimura. Left hook stops it in the third round. My thing about Hiroya, of course, and we've talked about this before, Hiroya can fight, man. He's got some talent, and he's done so well of bouncing back from no fault of his own, so well of bouncing back from what, you know, we would all consider a how do I put it? Bouncing back from what we would all consider a unfortunate push before he was ready to be one of the better fighters in Japan. He grew into it. He became one of the better Japan, fighters in Japan, not the best, but one of the better fighters. Became a good gym owner. Developed some good fighters. Like we got some good stuff from Hiroya. Unfortunately, he was pushed in too fast, too early. I'm glad he was able to put some stuff together, get a victory here. Of course, the famously publicized separation between his gym and the K1 organization, so a lot of his fighters don't fight in that promotion anymore. With that said, I'm glad he's fighting. I'm glad he got the victory here, and hopefully we see more from Hiroya moving forward. Momoka defeats Riri Nasukawa. Riri Nasukawa is the sister of Tenshin, and she came out, she did some flash, 29-29, 30-29, 30-29. Momoka was able to score a little bit more clean offense, whereas Riri, as she's developing, still more flash than substance. You know, got to put away some rounds. But she does some good stuff, and I was talking back and forth with someone on Twitter, and we were talking about how who she is and what she is, and we kind of talked about how there is a... I won't say fun, it's fun to watch, but fun story, I guess I put it, between her and her father. It's just been interesting to see that he was a guy who, you know, quit his job and self-learned and then taught his kids, Tenshin and Riri, how to go out there and be high level in kickboxing, and now we're going to see them do their run. Riri's super young, not even, I think she's 16 at the most. Tenshin, of course, is 20, so we'll see them for a long time to come, but it's always an interesting story, and I always wonder where those guys learn from. Joe Calzaghe's dad was the same. You know, he was a jazz musician, son wanted to be a boxer, then he, you know, quit what he's doing, and he focused on making his son a boxer full-time, and, you know, looked at people like Sugar Ray Leonard and, you know, guys who he thought that he wanted them to learn from, and developed his son in that style, and he became an all-time great. So it's always cool when you hear stories like that. Does not always work, but it was cool that it worked out this time. So Risen 129 put on a very, very solid show. We will go ahead and move to, you know, I don't want to use the word unfortunate, but I do want to use the word strange when I describe this. So I'm going to talk about a couple of ONE Championship fight cards. This one took place in the it was the Heart of the Lion card from Singapore, and I guess the best way to put it is Georgia Petrosian once again proved how skilled he is as he gets a victory over Sorgra Pechindi. Georgia Petrosian is one of the all-time greats, and anytime this guy fights, you are usually going to see something about it somewhere. So in the way that even though Bukau isn't even, fighting high-level guys anymore, it's always big-time news when this guy does fight. So people go and they want to see him fight no matter who it is, they want to see him fight. And it'll pop up on YouTube. It'll pop up on Facebook pages. He's the man. Like, everyone loves Bukau. And in that way, Georgia Petrosian, you know, still a great fighter, still able to beat elite guys, still one of the top five, lightweights in the world. Whenever he fights, it's big-time news. And whenever he fights, you see a skill set. But, man, I feel like the next thing ONE Championship should focus on is giving a little bit more clarity in terms of what fight equals what and what leads here and what creates a title fight, because when he competes, it's just Petrosian fighting, but there's no drama afterwards. And he already has a safety first style where he looks for an educated counter and he doesn't take a lot of damage, and it shows where he's already a high level fighter. But I want people to be, whenever it comes to kickboxing or high level kickboxer, the mentality I want the world to have is, hold on, I need to stop what I'm doing and watch this guy. That's how I always feel. So hopefully the people who run ONE Championship will give that opportunity down the road. But as it stands right now, it's just not the case. It's just not true at all. And I'm glad that he's fighting. I'm glad that he's making a paycheck at this stage in his life. I want him to put away as much money as he can so that when he rides off into the sunset, he's financially secure. I never want an all-time great in anything to be broke when they're done. So hopefully he's, you know, putting good money away. Still, you know, undefeated in the year, as he's been for a couple now. And just a talented guy. Good win for him. Joe Nottawa gets a victory over George Mann by unanimous decision. George Nottawa, of course, longtime Lion Fight regular, and he had some good victories and some good, I guess, when met with professional resistance, as they say. He did a good job. Like, I think he put on some really good fights, and even though he lost the elite guys, he still got in there, fought anybody. So I'm glad that he gets a victory over George Mann here. Alvaretti Ramazanov gets a victory over Andrew Miller by knockout. Andrew Miller, I've seen fight a couple times. He's been getting some opportunities over in Asia, and I'm happy for him. He just ran into Ramazanov, who is just a much, much different animal at this stage in the game. Good for him, and I'll be watching more of Ramazanov as he moves forward in his career. The last Muay Thai fight I want to talk about, this one's pretty interesting, is Muang Thai of PK San Chai Muay Thai Gym. And he gets a victory over Panayios Yusuf. And the reason why this is a big deal is because Muang Thai is one of the elite Thai stadium fighters. We are not joking when we say it in this regards. This kid can freaking fight. He brings the violence. He moves forward all the time. He is what you want from one of the better fighters in your organization. I'm always happy and excited to see what he's doing, and I always want to know when he gets opportunities, but I worry, is he going to get that right? How you got to have the right manager to give yourself international opportunities. And you saw it with Yodwicha. It was all about the right opportunities. Unfortunately for him, he had the right manager, so after he was Fighter of the Year and after he had his great stadium run, the opportunities opened up for him to fight France and then England, and I was happy for him. Still not in a situation where he's getting fights that gives him the recognition that I feel he should have, but I'm just happy that he's out there fighting, working, doing his thing in the kickboxing world. Next fight I'm going to talk about is the other ONE Championship fight that's happened over the last couple weeks. This one, I mean, the kid can always, you always know that Nicky Holtzkin can fight. I don't care who he's fighting. He's must-see TV. He brings it. And Nicky Holtzkin gets a KO victory over Cosmo Alexander. He, you know, hurt him with a flurry of shots. He put in a strong combo. Cosmo got behind the earmuffs, and Nicky Holtzkin split the earmuffs with a big-time uppercut, scoring a big-time KO over Cosmo Alexander. It's just, Holtzkin is still the truth. At 35 years old, he can still make a lot of money in combat sports. You match him with anybody, he's going out there, he's going to work. This dude can fight. And it's really cool that they gave him the platform, and he's still letting the combinations go, and he's still letting their body rips go, and he's still got the smooth kickboxing. And you know, once upon a time, you guys heard me say it, when a Nicky Holtzkin or a Josh Johnsey or a Robin Van Roosmalen, when those guys are on form, you really are seeing the best of kickboxing. You're seeing the most beautiful kickboxing that you're going to see. Their fluidity between their punches and their kicks and their knees, it's just something else. So when Nicky Holtzkin goes out there and puts on a great performance that makes everybody turn their head, his KO victory was a gift all over the place. It really, really was special, and I was really excited to see it. So good stuff for Nicky Holtzkin. And on to the next one. Someone had said that he was a good fighter. Compton from Australia said that he was a good fighter and he was hoping for the opportunity to fight him. Nicky's not, you know, it's 100% healthy. Saw if there was a card 3 weeks. He says, hey, let's do it in 3 weeks or 2 weeks or whatever it was. And that's what you want. You want a guy who wants to go out there and compete for your brand. Hopefully, champion, ONE Championship considers making that fight, and then we'll see where it takes us after that. The next fight on the card that I'm going to talk about is the Larzilla. He gets a victory over Soikdai. It's a rematch, if I remember correctly. Larzilla is a talented guy who's fought, you know, had good stadium run. Fought in California several times. He's a good fighter. He's lost some of the step-up opportunities that he's had, but those are against some pretty big dudes. This was a really, really cool victory for him. I'm always all in on anybody who gets to compete on a high level, and you know, prove a point every time they go out there. Larzilla gets it done this time. Last fight I'm going to talk about is Brown pinesses as he gets a victory over Johan Dry. One of the cooler knockouts, a spinning back elbow. I mean, that thing landed smooth. Brown Pinesa is a talented fighter. I want to see more from him down the road. Still in the early stages, so I'm not going to, you know, jump out of the gym about who he is and his potential. He's just a guy that I got to see more from. And I thought that he's had a really, really cool run. I think that he's a very talented fighter. But in the end, it's going to come down to what do you think can, you know, or who do you think you should fight that will build on who you are right now? And that's the big question for a lot of people. So hopefully as we move forward, we will see more of the elite guys out there doing their thing, because we really do have a lot of talented kickboxers and Muay Thai fighters that they're using on a regular basis in the fight promotion for one, but just the consistency and the map. We don't know what a win does. It just makes you, it gives you more money than the loser. We need to know how that leads you into a title opportunity. So we will see where we go. Next, we're going to go ahead and talk about a couple of fights, not their whole cards, but the fights, fighters that were competing recently. And one of the big ones is Sergey Musselbajev, who I've mentioned this before, very, very talented, 209, our light heavyweight fighter. He gets a victory at King of Cage this past weekend, King of Kings in Lithuania, his hometown. He gets a victory over Rafael de Souza. I mean, what can I say? The guy is very talented. He's been in one of the fights of the year already. I'm always excited to see him compete, and I'm glad that he gets the victory here. I'm excited to see what comes from him moving forward. Super, super talented guy, and very, very good fighter. We had the Muay Thai Grand Prix. 21 took place this past weekend. I won't talk about all the cards, but I'm going to talk about some of the main ones. So Carlton Liu is one of the better fighters in the world, but not a lot of people are talking about. He's one of my favorite up-and-comers in England right now. He gets a victory over Luca Roma, and by unanimous decision. Again, Carlton plays the full rules Muay Thai game. You know, that's usually his preference, but I think he's skilled enough and he's got the offensive tools to come out and get big-time victories over some of the better kickboxers. I think that his home, he has a home there because his skill set would really show up. So Carlton Liu gets a victory, and I'm excited about him. I want to see more of him moving forward. Another fighter, a fight of note on that card is I've got the whole thing in front of me. Shane O'Neill gets a victory over Giannis Tsikotas. Tsikos. Gets a victory at Super Welterweight for the European title. Shane O'Neill, talented guy, 70 kgs. Person to watch out for, because this fight was done at 69.85 kgs, which is just, I don't know why, but whatever. That's what I have written down here. I'm always excited to see him compete. I'm curious how the next one goes. Good stuff, and I'm hoping that moving forward we see a lot more of him, and maybe leave England and take on some international opportunities, not just in Muay Thai, but in kickboxing as well. And then we had some kickboxing fights on this card. I won't go into all of them. Luke Whalen gets a victory, a first-round KO over Joe Hemsworth. Luke can fight, man. He's a talented guy, southpaw, really good with his boxing and powerful kicks, and just, he's a talented guy, and really, really like what Kieran Kettle has in him. We had some ladies kickboxing. Again, I need to see more of them moving forward, but I like this first showing. Niamh Kinahan gets a victory over Sarah Worsfold. Kinahan, talented, still early in the process. Don't know if she's going to be like the young lady I'm going to talk about in a little bit, but still big-time victory there. Wen Rowan Wong gets a victory over Aaron O'Neill. 95 kgs. If you can put together a resume there, you can move to the top of the world quick, because it's not the deepest weight class. So you get some wins, you get an opportunity to fight in Glory or some of the better guys, and K1, even though K1 hasn't been fooling around with their heavyweight division that much, but there are opportunities there for you if you can have success. Charlie Needham gets a victory over A.N. McRae, a TKO there. Tom Babandia and Bubakar Sarr fight to a draw. Nobody likes a draw, but it's a close fight. And then Chris Malahish gets a victory over Yusuf Ali Taleb. by unanimous decision. So definitely good stuff there. Michael Fan gets a victory over Dale Hughes. Michael Fan, you gotta, if you haven't seen him before, watch this guy. He's very, very talented. Fights 67 kgs. He could probably go up a few kgs or down a few kgs, but he's a talented guy. Gets the brand, because this is the Muay Thai Grand Prix. He gets their title here. Tyrese Stevens gets a victory over Cullen Connor. And then in the ladies, and this is someone who I haven't mentioned in a while, but she is talented, and I'm glad that she's competing. Grace Spicer gets a victory over Martina Minetti. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I believe she's Italian, so I think that I could have messed that last name up. But Grace Spicer is a longtime Four Rules Muay Thai fighter in my area, so I'm glad that she got to be on this card and do her thing. But I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up with the living legend, Iman Barlow. I've talked about Iman on the show several times. A lot of you guys know there's a running joke that she's my daughter, because I found out about her and Misaki Nori and Koya Arabe so early that, you know, I just said, hey, they're my kids, because I just kind of watched their growth. But I've known Iman Barlow since she was 15 years old, and I knew about all the stuff that she was doing in Thailand, and then to watch her grow into and be there live when she won the It's Showtime Championship. Not at Showtime, but the Infusion Championship. I was there for that. I was there to see, you know, some of the bigger wins of her career, and I was there to watch her kind of grow into this Iman Barlow's record. This, just to kind of give you an idea of what we're talking about, since 2000, and I'll go ahead and say the very end. We'll say 2015. From 2015 to today, she's only lost one time to Sophia Olofsson. The victories that she's put together, and we're not talking about like bums here. She's got a Theresa Gunderson victory, Fatima Pinto, Samantha Van Dorn, Maria Lobo, got the Lion Fight title in there as well. Victory over Jerry Seitz. Merlin Uzla, who fought for the Glory title at one period of time. Another victory over Gunderson, a victory over Ashley Nichols, who's on the Glory roster right now. Who else do we have? Jeline Valentino is the current women's S-Cup champion, and she's got a victory there. Yolanda Smits, we're talking about one of the better fighters in the world. Like, we're talking about one of the all-time better fighters in the world. And shout out to Olofsson for getting the victory, but that was in Olofsson's backyard. Nissa Mexican's got a victory over her on the Infusion Reality Show. I don't know if that was in the finals of that. Actually, I think it was. It was in the finals of the show. I also know that she went into that fight with an injury. With that said, Mexican still stands at the top of the world thanks to that victory. So hopefully, down the road one day they can do it again. But in her run on that Infusion show, she really did put together a great, great string of victories. And she's had a elite career as a pro. Go ahead and check out her Wikipedia page. It's got most of her fights. Iman is special, and we are special. We've been blessed in this sport to have a kickboxer, Muay Thai fighter of that level who goes back and forth between both disciplines. 25 years old. She's got plenty of time to continue developing her resume, and I hope to see her moving forward. So thank you, everyone, for listening to my podcast. I will be back next week for sure. Got some results. We got some cards going on this weekend. And of course, we've got the 2 weeks from now, we've got a big tournament, heavyweight tournament for Glory Kickboxing. So thanks, everybody, for listening. God bless and have a good one. Peace.